Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Welcome everybody to the LFC Podcasting Couch. It is episode 84. I'm your host, George Xanthus. I'm joined again by Peter, the coach, Kafinas. How are you, Pete?
Very good, Georgie. How are you feeling?
Very, very good. We're here together on a lovely... Is it a Thursday today? It is Thursday. In Australia, it is Thursday.
Yes, it is. It is Thursday in Australia, approximately 1:50 p.m.
1:50? What the hell are we doing with our lives?
Talking about football, mate.
Mate, we're in the arts, both of us. I reckon we're both in the arts. Football's art.
Football is an art.
Football is art. We're both artists. We create, as they say. We're getting down and dirty in transfer stuff. I mean, I'm just going to say it straight out from the beginning of the show. We're doing transfers.
With a bit of a twist.
With a bit of a twist. What's the twist, Pete?
We're having scouting reports, aren't we?
Yeah, we're doing some scouting because we rate ourselves as... We know what a footballer looks like, what they do well, what they don't do well. And sometimes YouTube videos cannot... They don't tell you everything and basically, it's all sort of like a bell curve. At the beginning, people are like, oh, I know everything about a player from YouTube. And then...
Or FIFA.
Yeah. Oh, FIFA. I can tell you everything about a player from FIFA. How good is their weak foot, for example? No. But there used to be a period where, you know, YouTube was the be-all and end-all. But then people started going, hey, you can't tell everything from YouTube video. And then it went down. So its stock has decreased. But I'd like to just bring it back up a little bit. I'm not saying you can tell everything from a player, but there's something you can tell from a video.
Of course, there's behaviours and there's certain skills that you can tell if a player loves long shots, short passes, slide tackles, for example, which we will talk about very shortly with a certain player.
Yep, the slide tackles.
Yeah, but you can tell certain behaviours that a footballer would have on the pitch just for YouTube. I think you can anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to go front to back with this one. And we've got some time. I mean, we might go for about maybe 40 minutes or so, half an hour, 40 minutes. We've got some time. We were just saying you arrived early.
I did arrive early.
You arrived early. So like I use the analogy of Mario Kart in that, you know, when you have your ghost and you're chasing your ghost, like your ghost is behind you. You're like a lap behind in Mario Kart.
But I beat my ghost.
You're beating your ghost like by heaps. But maybe you caught up because we were like screwing around for a little bit. You know, you're like, can I have a glass of water?
I wouldn't want another one actually.
Shit. Maybe I should pause it. No. You can have some of mine. It's in the bottle.
No, nothing.
You're a germaphobe, eh?
Yes.
I was just about to say, from bloody Mario Kart, we were going on about all the little noises they make. Luigi, what was it? What the fuck was Yoshi? What was his sound? What were they... Why? What did they... They got to Yoshi because Toad is like... When they got to Yoshi, it was... What the fuck were they doing with Yoshi?
Maybe that's the sound.
Because when they made the game like a game later, it was like, Yoshi. Like, remember that?
Yoshi.
Yeah. What was...
It sounds like a fart, to be honest.
It sounds like a fart. I don't know what they did. They must have got to the end of the game and gone, oops, we forgot.
We run out of ideas.
we forgot Yoshi. Anyway. Well, we'll get stuck into the transfer goss. Enough about Mario Kart. Oh, God. I must want to play it. Who knows? We'll go back to front. Start with the goalkeepers. Do we need a goalkeeper, yes or no?
Well, no.
No. Are we linked to any goalkeepers, yes or no?
We brought back Ward, didn't we, from loan?
Yep. So we've gained a goalkeeper. We've got...
And our goalkeeper coach has really just come out and said it's a healthy competition between our three goalkeepers. And he stated that we need three goalkeepers for the season coming up.
I love that talk. I love it. Because I love when we've got awesome players on the bench. I always say when we lost Peter Crouch that year... And then the year after, we drew against Stoke, that game where Dirk Kuyt's header was ruled offside in 2008-2009, the year we came second to Man United.
With Rafa Benitez.
We didn't have Crouch. He went to Tottenham for, quote, first-team football. Now, if we had given him a contract, 70 grand, left him on the bench, he would have been fine.
100%.
Okay? He just wanted a new contract, and we weren't going to give it to him. So I'm all for... Danny Ward, let him rot. Nah, I'm just kidding. But I would rather have three goalkeepers because, you know, screw it. Let's just have a strong team this year. So, yeah, I'm happy with it.
Well, the thing about what we're blessed as fans with our goalkeepers in the season coming is that every single goalkeeper we have has a point to prove, but with different reasons. Karius, of course, and obviously Ward now saying, look what I've done with my team, promoting them to the Premier League. I deserve my shot. Mm. So they've all got their own points to prove this season coming, which is good for us as fans. We should be good.
Well, the thing that I'm most psyched about is the fact that we can just get rid of goalkeepers now on this little agenda that we've got. So goalkeepers, get out of my way. I don't want anything to do with you right now. Let's get on to defenders. More specifically, centre-backs. Now, we've been linked with a few. So I'm trying to look at the screen and also talking to the mic at the same time. We've got the ones that I can tell are Virgil van Dijk, Koulibaly, De Vrij. I've got Keane on this list as well, and then we've got another name that we were going to talk about later. But we'll, if we get time, we'll talk about him. We don't have to. We'll leave the listeners in angst. And
is that like a biased name there?
Because it might be biased, considering what our ethnicity is. But let's just start with Koulibaly, because we watched a YouTube video of Koulibaly. We watched a video of him against a side and also some highlights. Now, you know, we tried to do both. So we didn't just do the YouTube, like the highlights. We also watched these players play against teams. And what's the main thing that we noticed about Koulibaly?
Well, I've actually watched a few games of Koulibaly this season because a friend of mine is a massive, massive fan of Napoli. So we've watched a few games together. So I've actually seen Koulibaly in action. So what we gain from him, even just from the videos they're talking about, you and I, he loves tackles. He loves getting his body in the way of the ball into an attacker and just saying, give me that ball. He's got long strides. He actually reminds you of Sacco.
The long stride, the stridey nature of the centre-back. Absolutely.
But with more coordination, because sometimes we look at Sacco, we think Bambi on ice.
Yeah.
But with Koulibaly, it's less Bambi on ice.
So he's got the long legs. He's got that stridey nature, but it's not on ice. He doesn't have the ice skates on or the deer feet.
And from what I pick up, it's like any chance he gets the slide tackle, he will.
He's always slide tackling. Now, we were talking about this as whether it can be a positive and a negative. Now, the positive is that I saw skillfully watching a few of these videos is that he waits for the attacker to sell him, and then he hits them with a slide tackle. So that's the first time he slides, but there's a second instance in which he slides, and that's what you noticed.
Well, sometimes a slide tackle could represent you're being too slow, like you're reactive to the attack or to the counterattack, the transition of the match. So a slide tackle could also mean you're reactive, not proactive. Now, we're not going to get into all that kind of stuff, but it could also be negative as well as a positive, because a slide tackle is an art. And it's good to be. And we love a slide tackle. We're Liverpool fans. We love a good slide tackler. But again, it could be, no disrespect to the Italian game, but it could be slower. Mm. And it is a little bit slower than the Premier League. We all know how fast-paced the Premier League is. So would he get away with X amount of slide tackles in a Premier League match? We don't know.
It could mean also, like you said before, is that he could be out of position. That's why he's being forced to go to ground, because he's got no other option. You know, Alan Hansen once said that I don't think I ever made tackles because I was always in position. You know, so some good defenders often argue that, they don't need to slide tackle.
We never saw Sammy Hippier jumping into a slide tackle any chance he could. So, yeah, I mean, would I have him? Of course. Of course, he's going to cost less than 70 million, which is a positive.
And we were saying we could possibly get two players. We're actually really, really close together now, because I'm trying to get close to the mic because I think I'm not talking right into it. So yeah, you guys can't see it, but we are very intimate right now.
And it is romantic. It's very romantic.
It's gotten very romantic in here. So he does have a bit of recovery pace about him. He does like running the ball out of defense. We saw that a lot.
We also see a lot of short passes, which I love. Mm. But then again, in the Premier League, with Mane one side, Salah on the other, we signed him. I'm not going to question it. We've got Salah, he's ours. Sometimes we may need that Daniel Agger long 40-yard pass out of the back, in behind early in transition. Watch these speedsters go. Does he have that in his locker? From what I've seen so far, no. But at the same time, we don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say I know Koulibaly, because I don't. But from what I've seen, I don't think he's got that long 40-yard accurate diagonal in behind to release Mane on a counter-attack.
And then, and arguably, Dejan Lovren does have that sort of in his game. He albeit he will attempt four and two of them will be crap. Or he'll attempt five and three of them will be crap, maybe. And then two of them will come off.
We haven't seen much from Matip either in terms of that kind of pass.
I don't think he like. Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't really like to be. He doesn't like to do that. So, you need like a Ronald Koeman style sort of centre back for that.
Funny enough, Sakho could. I remember Sakho being able to play those kind of passes.
Yeah, it was weird. He used to hunch over and he used to really take care with his short passes. It's something I both loved because I love when you can see technique. But I also didn't like it because it was like a 5 second run up to make a short pass. So when you mentioned that thing about Koulibaly, about how he's good at short passing, what I did notice from the videos is technically the way that what I do like about him is technically he just needs to use his foot, for lack of a better word. He doesn't need to do a whole big run up and use his arms and his whole body. He's quite comfortable just doing short little passes, like you said.
And he's at a decent age where he can come in and grow as a footballer and learn the Premier League.
Absolutely. Well, let's get away from Koulibaly for that. I think he gets good marks from us. What would you say?
I'd have him.
Decent marks. Okay, well, you know, because you said that you'd prefer him than wasting 70 mil on someone like, or not wasting, but spending 70 mil on someone like Van Dijk. Now, we know about what Van Dijk is like. He's tall, he's strong. He can score a free kick, given what we've seen from his time at Celtic. He can score a header from a set piece.
He's technically sound.
Very technically sound.
And yeah, again, but I'd rather 70 million on a centre back for me is no, thank you. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
So it started at 50. The rumours were they wanted a bidding war to get towards 60, 65. We thought we could bypass it by releasing some news about getting rid of those people who would make it a bidding war. So we got rid of City and Chelsea, and Southampton didn't like that, and now they're going to slap a premium price on him. So he would be about 65. Possibly. Still too much. 65?
That's bizarre. It's bizarre. Even 50. Like 50. The initial price tag of 50 million is bizarre. And Van Dijk, yeah, he's good from what I've seen in the Premier League this season. But just to make it very clear and very quick, he's only played 55 games in the Premier League. The club before Southampton was Celtic. International debut 2015. I think it's like 12 caps for Holland. No major tournaments for his national team. Where has his money come? Where has his price tag come from? Where does that say I value what I've just said at 50 plus? It's beyond me. It's beyond me.
I think the major point from that is also that we can probably use that money elsewhere. But if Jurgen has said and he's given him all these tactical sort of pieces of paper, he's given him the tablet and said, this is where we want you to play. If that's what Jurgen wants, that maybe you just blow the money and you just go, screw it, let's just get the player that we want.
Which will lead into my next point, which I guess is going to get to our next player. But I trust in Klopp. I trust in the club. And I pray to God that they know what they're doing. If they are going to spend, let's say the number of 65 million on a centre back.
And what's the next player that you're going to go on
to? We're going to talk about that left fullback, weren't we?
Okay, well, there's a couple of other centre backs that are there. There's De Vrij, there's Keane, and then we're going to bring up Manolas because he's available from Roma, but I don't think it's worth going into these players because I think De Vrij is just like a bargaining chip. I think Liverpool don't really need him, and he has spent a lot of the season injured with like a knee injury or something like that. So we had a look at a couple of his YouTube clips. We saw him versing another team as well. We didn't just watch a highlights reel; we watched him in real time. He's very aggressive. He likes to come out, but the fact that he just didn't play half the season, we weren't really interested in seeing much more from him. Yeah. He was very solid, which isn't very exciting.
And I've also seen him play again for Holland, and I'm just nah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Well, we'll go on to the fullbacks then, seeing as though we're racing through the defenders here. Andy Robertson was the first one that we looked at. And that's an interesting player to look at when you are, because we watched him again versing another team, watched highlights and also him, what he does in a game. Interesting. I didn't think I'd be impressed with him, but I'm actually quietly impressed because you can see the technical abilities of him, but he's also solid. So he's got some skill, but his major asset is he's 7 out of 10. In everything possibly.
And that's what you need. Like, people love to go on and talk about, oh, we need the next Dani Alves. We need our right back, our left back to score 10 goals a season, 15 assists. It's not how, that's not, in my opinion, that's not what our left and right fullbacks should be doing. Our left and right fullbacks, yeah, sure, join the attack and help out, create numbers in the final third. But most importantly, and first and foremost, defend. That's your job. Mm. You're a left fullback, you're a left-sided defender. You defend. We need zero goals conceded, and we need to score more than we concede. It's just, that's your job, defend. Mm. If he's a 7 out of 10 defender, in every way possible, suits me fine.
So the one thing that I noticed about him is he looks like a left back by trade. Now, a lot of these, like, for instance, we're going to go on to Sessegnon after, is he looks like a left winger who probably wasn't. Sometimes you do get fullbacks who probably weren't as good as wingers, so they've pushed themselves back a bit. I'm not saying Sessegnon was that, but he looks like he's a out-and-out left back. He goes, so I'll play left back. There's that joke about the Sunday league team where you've got like the positions of each player. Left back is like, what is it? The only left-footed player or the drunk one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So, yeah, so it's good that, I think that's a positive, that to have a specialist left back.
And again, so people may not know much of Robertson, but...
Should we call him Robertsoninho just to make him sound...
Fancier?
Fancier. Adriano Robinho.
But if we do that, he's going to... His price tag will go up by 30 million.
30 million. And he'll be English-based. He'll be like Berahina. No. Is he English? No. He was. Berahina.
He was.
He was English. He was. And he's not anymore. He doesn't exist anymore. He filled out a black hole. No.
Where'd he go?
He filled out a black hole. He's gone.
Yeah. Bye-bye. He's gone. But now, go back to the point of Robertson at left back. Sometimes we don't need a superstar name. I think that's what people also need to remember. I think we need someone that's going to suit the system the way Jurgen Klopp wants his player to fit in. So if Robertson is the man that Jurgen Klopp thinks is going to be the best to suit what he wants his left back to do over the ones that we're going to mention like Mendy and the rest, well, then Robertson's the man. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
I think he's going to cost 9 million. I think is his price tag. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. But if that's Jurgen Klopp's mould in terms of having the best back line possible, then that's it.
Yeah, and what we can tell from the videos is that he doesn't bomb on too much. So like we said, he's traditionally a left back, which means he's always thinking in his mind, well, hold on, what's going on back there? I need to make sure that I'm not bombing on too far, that I expose my center backs. But also, he's got a decent enough touch on him. We saw him cutting in a little bit. We saw a player map of him, like him versus Manchester United. He had a decent game. And he was cutting in, you know, he was playing in and around the box, which is good, which means that his attacking instincts are there. He's not great, but he can also curl the ball, which is what I love, because we've had 2 years of Moreno as an option at left back, and I think he only swerves it outwards. I think he only hits it laces.
Yeah, but did anybody know the name Steve Finnan before we signed him?
Oh, God, Steve Finnan was the greatest right back ever. He was, yeah, from Fulham. Yeah. I knew him, but, yeah, not many people did.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those ones. And Nathaniel Clyne, on his day, is, in my opinion, the best or second best right fullback in the Premier League with Kyle Walker anyway. So we're sorted on that side. Also with our young Trent Alexander-Arnold feeling, you know, trying to mould him into a first-team footballer. I think the right side, it's fine.
Mm.
It's the left side now. And, you know, a lot of people don't like Moreno. A lot of people think James Milner can't do another season at left back. I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can start the season at left back, but I can't see him playing 40, 50 games next season.
Be good to give him a rest, yeah, at the very least. Because he ran out of steam, especially against Sunderland. That game where we were up, what was it? Were we up 2-0 and we ended up going down 2-2? Or it was, whatever it was, we were leading against Sunderland at home and we drew the game. Milner was spent in that game.
Yeah, and you can't blame him. No. James Milner, he's like a soldier. He's our soldier. But with Robertson, he's got Premier League experience. So he's been exposed to the Premier League. He knows how to fight because he's played in that lower league, kind of in the lower half of the league. So he knows what fighting's all about. He's got the English mentality, the never give up mentality. He's clean. He's clean cut looks, and very similar to Henderson, which is important for Liverpool fans for some reason. They love that clean cut look.
Clean cut look. He gets a haircut every week, and he tells the person,
And it's not a fancy haircut.
No. You know what he says? He says, give me a haircut.
Yeah.
He gets the haircut, which is just, like when you're a kid, when you're like 4 years old, you don't get a haircut. No. Unless your parents are weird and they're like, I want a Z on the side of his head.
If we get three slits at the back.
You ever see kids like that with like a rat tail?
I see everything.
That's the parent.
Yeah.
That's the parent.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, but he's young.
Yeah,
he's young.
And he's got the haircut.
He's got the haircut. He's young. He's a natural left footer. He's got the Premier League exposure. He's $9 million. Pounds. My mistake. I'm Australian. Why not?
That leads into the next player, which is the complete opposite. No Premier League experience. Young.
And 50 million.
Who knows if he's proven or not? But no, this isn't Mendy, by the way. This is Sessegnon.
Oh, yes.
So I don't think he is coming up into the prep. Is he coming up with Fulham? No, he's not. No. Okay, which is a good thing for people who want him, because now he can get into the Premier League. But he's going to cost like 15, 16 million pounds, and he's 16 years old.
Yeah.
Now, He looks Gareth Bale-ish in the sense, and we're going by what we've seen on the net from highlight reels, and he's very erratic, is what I'd say. A lot of people have said that attacking-wise, he's got a lot of, you know, heaps of skill and whatnot. Technically, I don't see a lot of that, but he manipulates the ball right at the last minute, which is a very Gareth Bale-style thing to do. He doesn't need to do the step-overs. He just runs at pace, and then at the last minute, touches the ball to the other side and gets past the player. So, you know, that can be handy. But I think there's a lot of hype around him, probably rightly so, given what he did last season for a championship club that was sort of towards the top. But I don't, to spend that much money on him, it could be an investment in the future, but you were saying you were not completely sold.
Well, I think you said it perfectly right there. I think if he can do the same for another season, another two seasons, yeah, okay, his value is going to go up, but these days in football, whose isn't? So I'd rather keep an eye on him, maybe contact him legally before we have to do another public apology.
No, Blackpool.
So, and just keep an eye on that. We're monitoring you. You know, we're watching your development as a footballer. So I don't think we need to go and buy him, because when we do, if we do, he's just going to sit on the bench anyway. Or we're going to buy him and loan him out. Like, it's not, I don't think it's something we need to do, considering we've got Joe Gomez, who's on the mend.
Mm.
Who has a point to prove, who's got Jurgen Klopp's trust this preseason, saying, show me what you've got. Again, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who can play there if we need him to be. Like, and then if we don't sell Moreno, he's still going to be there anyway, which I think we probably end up selling Moreno, but if we don't, it's one of those ones. So I think we need to monitor Sessegnon, not sign him.
Well, the major fear that everyone has, especially Liverpool supporters, is what if someone else gets him? And the fear is that Tottenham will grab him, but the thing is, that could just be speculation, because they've got enough left backs, surely. They've got Danny Rose, they've got Ben Davis, and then they've got ambidextrous fullbacks. Like, Trippier is a right back, but
Vertonghen can play.
And then Vertonghen can also play there. So they've got options there. Like, why are people getting so... Maybe that's a bargaining tool again used by Fulham, because they want Liverpool to fork out the money for him. Or maybe they don't want anybody to get him. Maybe it's... who knows who's put that
could out. Be a scare tactic. But
could be a scare tactic. But, I don't think we should be too afraid of someone else signing him. The best thing for him is to play another season, for sure. 100%. Or sign him and then loan him back, maybe. That could be an option. But then again, you're stuck with a 16-year-old who cost you 16 million. And we did that with Markovic. He wasn't necessarily a 16-year-old, but we spent 20 million on a player that was just crap. No offense, Markovic.
Well, that's another one who hopefully we kind of make some money for this summer.
Absolutely. Finally, in terms of fullbacks, we're going to get on to Mendy. We had a watch of Mendy. I called him like a left-sided Sanya, in that he was very stridey, very, he liked to gallop up the field, but you know, I think we were saying it, if you're in the French league, you haven't got that much to sort of challenge against.
Yeah, to compare with. Yeah. Oh, look, so I want to make it very clear. I'm not a fan of the French league.
Yeah. Right.
I prefer watching the A-League. So, but I have watched Mendy. I think it was...
What a damning thing to say.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
Well, I've watched maybe three or four games live, Mendy, of this season, which was the two Man City games. And I think it was the Juventus games as well, I believe I watched. Yeah. And then, so And plus the videos we watched together before we did our podcast. But 50 million, I think, is the price tag now as well. I know Manchester City are the hot favourites to get him.
He's a Man City style signing.
I know that he's the favourites, but again, if we can get, for example, Robertson for 9 million at left back, then I'm happy. Happy days.
We saw him doing a few things in the French League, going past players, you know, nothing too skillful on the ball. But he did get to the byline, and he likes cutting it back, which is a very Arsene Wenger 2002 style thing to do. He used to always say that, I want to get the ball all the way to the byline and cut it back, cut it back. So I like that as well. It seems as though Klopp likes that as well. When we are at our best with Mane, he's standing on the goal line. You know, obviously further towards the corner flag, but he's there, and that's dangerous because there's no fear of offside. Everyone's onside, and the ball is at your, is you know,
at the
all there.
Point.
Yeah, exactly. They're all there for you to hit. Now he likes to get there, which is Milner gets there and needs to cut back and sort of doesn't have the pace and the energy to even sustain himself there. So that is a major positive. And we said, oh, it could just be the French League's crap, but then we watched extended highlights of the Manchester City game, and he was doing the same sort of thing. He actually sets up Mbappe for his goal. So that's a positive, but still, you know, 50 mil. He's a Manchester City-style signing, overpriced. They'll overpay, and he'll probably underperform.
Well, again, see, this is tough. This kind of talk is tough because we've gone and said, yeah, but if Jurgen Klopp, if that's the bill that Jurgen Klopp wants, and we need to trust Klopp and get him, right? Yeah. And it's 50 million, but yeah, but... Again, if Jurgen Klopp thinks that Mendy is going to be the one, then okay. But I can't see us. I never thought us be alive in football when you're spending 50 million plus on a centre back and 50 million on a left fullback. I never thought I'd see it. But then again, people are paying it these days.
Yeah. Well, let's get off the fullbacks because they're boring. I mean, we did have Ryan Bertrand on this list as well. We're fans of Ryan Bertrand. Everybody knows how he plays. He's 7 out of 10 in everything.
I think the Liverpool fans are fans. Is a fan of Bertrand as well.
I think the transfer committee have wanted him for about 14 years.
And another one. How come we haven't had him? Like, it's just... But anyway.
Okay, well, let's move on to the centre midfield because we're going slowly towards the front. And in centre midfield... There have been some obvious sort of links and players that we've seen, but I think the major links that we've got here are we've got Keita, Zielinski. Those are two players that we've been linked with, which we actually like the look of. And then we've got a couple of other Arsenal who could be Arsenal rejects soon, but we'll go on to them later. We'll go on to the players that people haven't seen probably and tell them what we did find from our scouting report. We'll start off with Zielinski. He was interesting because he's kicked on after last year. I'm pretty sure... He moved to Napoli only last season, though, because we were in a fight to sign him, and then he ended up going to Napoli.
We've been interested for two or three seasons now.
At least two, because we wanted to sign him last year. He was holding a shirt with Zielinski on it last year.
It was before the Euros, wasn't it? That was the hottest.
We wanted Dahoud or him, and we were using him as like, if we don't get Dahoud, we'll get you. Then we got none of them.
Yeah, that's right. It was right before
We got Wijnaldum, who was incredible. So... Yeah.
But it was before the Euros, we were heavily linked with Zielinski, I remember. Mm. That's right. Because he went off to, and I think he had a good Euros for Poland as well.
Now, yeah, he did. Well, I don't know. I think he was a little, I thought he was average. I remember keeping an eye out for him. He didn't get on the field that much, but he was decent when he was on the field. You're right. I went especially to watch this Polish game and he didn't start. I'm like, are you bloody kidding me?
That was the first game, wasn't it? It was the first group game.
It's a good example, first of all. It's a good example of a player that we watched highlight reel first and he did the chop, which I loved.
Yes.
He did the chop skillfully. When a player does the chop, means they can change direction 180 degrees perfectly, which we know Henderson can't really do that much. But he makes up for it in other areas. But... Having said that, we saw his highlight reel. Then we saw him playing a game. We did like a specific Zielinski versus this team.
It was versus Roma.
It was versus Roma. And he was okay. He didn't look as flash. So he looked a little bit like a highlights player to me.
From what we gained, from what we've seen of Zielinski, was that he is a short pass kind of midfielder. He loves his short, tidy pass. He loves to keep the ball. He's neat. Now, not many flicks and tricks, but... In terms of getting the ball to his designation, he'll do it. Mm. He's got engines from what we saw.
What I did like as well is, this is another a technical thing, is that when he shoots and passes, he does the whip, like a Gerrard-esque whip. The thing I like about that is...
The whip and dip.
The ball dips. Oh, no. And they dip, you mean the actual body dips. Yeah, yeah. What I like about that is there is intent. One thing about Jordan Ibe, he never had intent. He had all the skills in the world, no intent. And you can't sell a trick without intent. Luis Suarez had all the intent in the world. A player with intent and just passion is important. And that's what I liked about Zielinski is when he scored, he scored a few long-range goals, which is good. Always good to have a player who can chip in, especially against a team that parks the bus. He had that whip. I liked that about a player. It's a very strange trait to pick up on, but I liked it.
I think he averages, was it 5 or 6 goals a season for the past 3 seasons or something? It was. Yeah. And I think he averages 7 assists.
Right.
So if you're looking at, let's say on averages, let's say 7 goals, 7 assists a season, is that what we need though? At Liverpool Football Club?
Well, that's an interesting question because arguably, if we do, not going to go away to KT yet, but if we go to someone like KT, you're getting more than just that. But arguably, probably, maybe not. We don't need that 5 and 7.
Because for me, they're Gini Wijnaldum stats.
Yep.
And we've got Gini Wijnaldum. Like, it's not...
And arguably, Emre Can can gave us 5 goals this season and gave us maybe 4 or 3 assists.
Yeah, I think it was 4 or 5
but
assists.
But he had a disrupted season. And he could have got more assists as well if people just finished the chances he gave them.
Yeah, well, he will. Emre Can will grow.
Yeah.
And will start to assist more as he becomes more of a dominant figure in the midfield. But that's another chat. That's for another day.
Absolutely. Well, then moving from Zielinski and then talking about them both a little bit in conjunction with each other, going on to Naby Keita. Yes, he does only give you that same output as what Wijnaldum does, but we likened him a little bit to Mascherano. I think we both burped at the same time.
Trying
to get away from the microphone. We're both like... I was just saying before, I say the word burp when I burp. I actually say burp.
That's another skill in itself.
But Naby Keita, albeit he's giving the probably similar goal returns, and we should have a look at his goal return and assists very quickly if we can, but he's giving us, like, he's like a skillful Mascherano is what we saw from the highlight packages and also the game packages that we saw of him.
Well, see, I haven't seen Keita play live or like in a game or, you know, Champions League. I've seen one game. It was against Bayern Munich because at that point they were both at the top of the table. So I thought I'll watch this because I love watching the Bundesliga. So what we gained from him is just, like you said, he's like a little Mascherano. He's like a little African Mascherano. He covers ground. He's, again, we just said Mash-like. He loves to win the ball.
One thing that we were watching one of his things. Hold on. We actually need to make a little bit of an adjustment here. We'll be back in 1 second. Hold a sec. Okay, we're back. Well, we just needed to get a glass of water for Pete. He was trying to mound it to him. He's like, I'm going to go get a glass of water. And I'm like, bro, you don't even know where it is. But we were talking about Keita and we were looking at his videos. And the major thing one thing that I saw at the beginning of one of the videos was I thought he was left-footed at the beginning because he was manipulating the ball and he was keeping it away from the players using his left. But then in the very next movement, he transferred it onto his right and he's clearly a right-footed player. But That ambidexterity, ooh, there's a word.
That's a word.
That ambidexterity is something I really like because we were just saying he's a lot like Mascherano. And if we leave him at Mascherano level now, he's obviously not at what Mash's level was. But to add as a plus one, both feet. Add as another plus one, good dribbling ability. Add as another plus one, he likes to bomb on and he likes to get into the box. He's slowly becoming quite a complete midfielder.
Yeah, look, we compare him to Mascherano because of the shape and the structure, the way he looks on the pitch, but he's actually a lot more, he's got a lot more go forward of, like, to himself that Mascherano did. Like, I think he finished his season on 8 goals and 7 assists.
Okay. For a 22-year-old, that's not too bad, especially when he's doing box-to-box work.
Yeah.
He'll kick on.
And he finished the season, I think, of a total overall, like 8 out of 10, let's say, in terms of the German ratings and things like that. But yeah, again, I think he had like 82% passing accuracy as well, shows that he is a good passer of the ball. See, for us to throw a 50 million, so we're talking about that number, 50 million again, to throw a 50 million at Naby Keita, I would.
Yep.
Because if that's an area we need to strengthen, it is our midfield slash going forward, our attack.
Now, he could sit, but he's not a sitter. He's an RCM, or he's part of a three.
He's box to box.
He can play in that six Henderson role. But we watched an extended game of his against Leverkusen, because we wanted to see him against one of the better sides in the Bundesliga. Now, the Bundesliga is not the greatest league in the world. There's a bit of pace about it, not as much as the Premier League, but he actually got better. He actually looked better than his highlight reel. He actually looked better in a game where we're just seeing everything he's doing, because we saw just about how everywhere he was. And yeah, like you said, tidy passing. Yeah, he looked very good.
See, I love to watch players in a game rather than highlights, because I think you can see more about a player in a game situation.
And that's what we've been doing as well. Yeah.
So we're doing both. That's how dedicated we are to our listeners.
This is the scout. This is the scouting. This is what we're doing.
This is how, yeah, again, there's a dedication here. So please appreciate what we do.
Yeah.
But he's like out of nowhere, you'd see him jump in, help the defense out when we need. So we're defending, and with the transition from attack to defense, he's there defending. Then there's the reverse transition from defense to attack, and all of a sudden he's at the other side, outside the 18-yard box. So how did he just get there? It's like he's got that energy, that Energizer Bunny kind of vibe about him.
In the same game, he blocked a shot, and then about 5 minutes later, he was in the opposition's box. Albeit he ran the ball out, but he was trying to get in behind with a dribble and trying to cut the ball back. He's got it all about him. His mind is on a lot of parts of the game.
Now, how's this for a bit of conflict here? He wears number 8.
Epic.
He wears number 8.
He doesn't come in and wear 8. People tell him what 8 means. Someone's got to earn 8.
If he comes in and says, "I'll only sign for Liverpool Football Club if I have number 8."
I tell you what, I would sign him twice. I'd give Leipzig even more money. They'd be like, he's only worth 50. I'd give him 60. Fuck it.
I'd give him number 16. I'd say you can have number 8 twice. he's number 16.
He's a good 16 though. 16 became just quietly, because Carrick wore 16 at Tottenham when he was their box to box player. So 16's actually a decent. And we had Kyriakos at 16, by the way, last time. That was the last 16 to play for Liverpool.
No, thanks.
Was it?
Yeah, but this. For me, I can't see anybody wearing number 8 at Liverpool. No. I think it would make me sick.
Ooh.
I can't.
You're feeling okay?
No.
You're feeling okay? You need another glass of water?
And not just a new signing.
Do we need to pause again?
No, no pausing. So it's like a new signing coming in and saying, I'm number 8. I think they have to
earn it. Yeah. You have to earn it.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about the number 8 for much longer, but it's...
You're okay.
It's very emotional for me.
Very emotional.
It's Stevie's number. That's not a number. It's Stevie's number.
I love how Gerard probably says... I don't care. Did he take 8? I don't care. And then someone takes, like, someone's thinking about taking, he's like, don't take 8. I reckon he's like, he'll just look at them and be like, and he's coaching the under 18, so he's like just down the road, watching them, going like, that fucking 8, mate. Don't take it.
That's my number.
Well, that's good. I think we've done a good, I mean, anything else on Keita? I like him. I want us to sign him as well.
Well, my final judgment there would just be, out of whoever we've spoken about, I think he's the one in terms of who we need to sign. If we are going to sign another midfielder, it has to be him.
The problem is Leipzig do not want to let go of him. They don't need to let go of him, and they won't likely let go of him. So I'm pretty cut.
Yeah, that's another.
Sorry hurdle.
Yeah, it's another hurdle that the club has to face in terms of a transfer window, which
break the bank for him, are they?
Nah,
he's a good player. Do we want to? Minkovic Savic. We saw if anyone has seen links to Minkovic Savic. He plays for Lazio. We didn't like him, did we?
No.
Because we've got Gruc.
I think we've got Marko Gruc, and for us, it's why can't we give him a chance as well?
Savic looked tall. He looked a little bit cumbersome. Gruc, at the moment, he's young, so he's allowed to be tall and cumbersome. But why are we going to sign this guy for anything more than what we've signed Gruc for and start again with someone? He just seemed like who knows why he's been linked to us.
And
he didn't look good.
And the hype that Gruc came into the club with, I think we need to give him time to fulfill that potential that he came in with.
Yeah.
I think he needs a shot this season.
We saw a game, it was Lazio versus, who were we watching them play? Was it Roma again? We just kept watching. No, it was against Roma.
It actually was, the derby.
We were watching, and he just seemed very slow, very, very relaxed on the ball, which is not too bad, but we don't need someone to slow the pace down of the game for us, so... For our listeners to visualize what this type of player is, he's not what we need, not the high energy, high octane player that we need. Not Keita, that's for sure.
He looked like a slower, more, like I would say, more immobile.
A more immobile.
White version of Yaya Toure.
Yeah, there you go.
is that fair?
Well, I think Toure is very... I think Toure is not as... Toure is not as... He's been described as immobile, but he moves quite well with the ball at his feet. So, you know, this guy just looked like it took him six touches to turn around a circle.
He did turn like a bass.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate when they can't turn.
By the time he turned, it was half time, wasn't it?
That's exactly it. But didn't like him. We shouldn't even spend more time on him. I can't believe we spent a minute or two on him. We've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Ramsey on this list. Do we want to... Because... We do want to do the scouting on players people do not know. We can do a 1 minute very speedy summary on what we think both of them can bring because we've seen them play a lot.
Okay, again we'll keep it quick for you. I'll speak about Ox. I'd have him. Mm. The only thing with him is I will not pay a cent over 25 million because they're saying something like 35 for him at the moment, and I wouldn't pay it. 25 and under, I'd say yes, please. Because it's like having almost like two Lallanas. Just
I thought you were going to say two Lallan. No. You know the player?
I do remember
it's
the player.
Almost like having two Lallan.
And we got... If he can stay injury free, then yeah, okay. But then that's never guaranteed. So that's a tough one with Ox.
I actually think he's more like a Wijnaldum in the sense that he, you know, Lallana is more skillful than Ox and he's more skillful than Wijnaldum in terms of what he can do with the ball, the Cruyff turns, the two-footedness and stuff. Oxlade-Chamberlain seems a lot like a powerhouse. He's strong.
He's quick.
A lot quicker than Wijnaldum, but he's sort of, you know, that's why he's been classed almost as a central midfielder as opposed to just an out-and-out winger because maybe he doesn't do enough of the winger things to be a winger, maybe not enough of the center midfielder things to be a center midfielder, but he can do that Wijnaldum thing in between because Wijnaldum also played wing for Newcastle, so he could be like that.
I'll tell you why I compared him to Lallana. It's purely because Klopp loves a versatile attacker.
Yeah.
And Oxlade-Chamberlain has got that versatility where he can play left wing, right wing, yeah, 10,
right
eight.
Back. He played wing back in the...
He did play wing back in the 4-3-3 system that they played, yeah. Yep. He also, I think he even played striker at times for Wenger, but... Again, his versatility is, you know, that's something that we, throughout a long season, we're playing Champions Leagues, FA Cups, Premier League and the rest, we may need 2-3 versatile players who can fill the gaps, but can he stay fit? That's the question.
That's the big question. And the thing is, when you've got a player who's very, very quick and they're explosive, they're more susceptible to muscle injuries. Now, I would have him, and you mentioned not a cent over 25 mil. He's in his last year of his contract, so I do agree with you to an extent, but I'd even say if they ask for 28, Just to shit with us, to be like, no, the 28. I'd go 28, fine. I mean, Liverpool have now shown that they are cheapskates, which is a good thing, which means that clubs don't want to take advantage of Liverpool anymore, which I like. We may end up missing out on players like Van Dijk and who else, you know, maybe not Salah because we've actually paid the money for him, it seems. But I like the fact that we're cheapskates. But Oxlade-Chamberlain, I would go ahead more than 25 because he's English. He's proven in the Premier League. Albeit he hasn't proved that much in the Premier League, but he at least can hold his own. It's not like going to be like Markovic where he just could not freaking handle it. So
how
I
old
like
is
him.
Chamberlain?
I think he's 23.
Yeah, I think he's 23.
Yeah, everyone's 23. Everyone we're looking at is 23.
That's a good age.
Great age, 23.
Great to have, I think. I'd have him. I'd have him, 100%.
And then we've got Ramsey. Now Ramsey,
I hate him. I'm not going to talk about him.
No, okay,
not forget a fan. Him.
He had that amazing run where there's a little flea around you, a little fly. He had that amazing season where he scored and assisted in like 15 matches.
What scared me about him is every time he scored a goal, someone had died after. Do you remember that?
No.
Every time he scored a goal,
what's going on here?
It's like one of your Illuminati exposed things.
Confirmed and exposed.
We have to get that up. We're gonna have to post that.
Someone died. Okay, we'll search.
It's
that
every time he scored a goal, like a tragedy happened. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Get him away. I don't want him. Piss him off.
Yeah, we don't need that. We've got enough tragedy at this club.
We're coming up to roughly 43 minutes. I reckon we're going to go into our attacking winger-style players and then our strikers, probably because there are none. And we're actually going to get all this done pretty quickly. So it's been good so far. We'll go to our attacking forwards. By the time this does get released, we could have signed Salah. The rumours are that he's having a medical on Thursday Liverpool time, which is probably another 12 hours or so, or probably as we speak, because it's now midday in Australia. So maybe another 24 hours.
So by the time we wake up here in Australia, we should have
Salah. He should be leaning on shit. He should be leaning on stuff.
He should have holding the shirt picture.
Holding the shirt. He should be getting his blood test. What if they're afraid of like blood tests and stuff? Because they've got to get like 3 blood tests.
Well, the alarms, doesn't it? If you're afraid of blood tests, it's an alarm bell there.
I went for a medical for my green card for the States. I'm not saying I went through it fine, but there's a like they had to get like immunization shots, and he doesn't have to get shots or anything. Maybe he does. But there was just too much stuff. Chest scan. Like, you know, he probably has to run on a treadmill. You know, they're probably like, don't eat anything, and then we're going to do all this stuff just to make sure that what your base level is. It's kind of. Like, we think, oh, he's having a medical. Some people might be genuinely like, I don't want to do it. Maybe Jesus Navas, that's why he was homesick. He was just like, I just don't want to leave Sevilla because I don't want to get bloody, I don't want to get prodded and poked.
There's rumours he might be going back.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
No.
His eyes are so blue.
He misses mummy.
I love that. When we were about to sign him, he's like, no, I'm homesick. Is that a reason? Is that like an injury? You know the little eye in fantasy? Reason, homesick. Reason. Like, because my only injury that I've ever had. Did you hear that crack, by the way? That was my foot.
Was that your foot?
What was that? Yeah, that was my foot. That was 43 minutes. I want to go 45 minutes. I want to go back and listen to that. Anyway, my injury is always blister. Imagine that on fantasy football. When someone's injured. Like Henderson was injured. It said it's an ankle thing. You know, whenever Sturridge is injured, they just go question mark because it's fucking something. You just show a picture of a body. With me, blister. Imagine how embarrassing it is being on fantasy football and your injury is blister.
And he'd be subbed because of your blister.
Because of a blister. And it's not even blister on little toe. Because sometimes my toes scrunch against each other. So I get a blister inside the little toe in between the fourth and the fifth toe. What a dumb injury. I was limping at school. Like we played like when I was like 18. I couldn't play in a game because I was limping. And they're like, what happened? I got a blister on my... A blood blister as well.
That's sad. It's very sad, George.
It took us to a sad place, doesn't matter. Not as sad as Ramsey's bloody death football that he
death
plays. Death record. Okay, so Salah, I think people have seen him. What have we seen from Salah? What can we sort of say very, very quickly? Because we've already signed him. I mean, it's not as exciting. Do we need to do a scout on him? We've already got him. We don't need to convince anyone.
But everybody knows what we're getting now. Everyone says the same thing. Pace... a left foot.
He chops the ball as well. I love it. He chops on both feet. I love when someone chops on both.
He operates on both sides of the wings. Yep. So he operates on the left side and then sometimes he starts on the right and drifts his way in.
Mm.
So he's versatile again. Another versatile player in the front three. He's lightning quick, left footed. I think it's like 15 goals, 11 assists.
Numbers. Pace and numbers, which is great. 41 games, 19 goals, 15 assists. Incredible. I love it.
So I mean, overall, though.
That's overall. It's in every competition. That's insane.
And the 15 assists is the one that excites me the most as well because it shows that he can do both.
Mm. And a lot of his goals were scrappy as well, which means that he follows up, which is something...
He joins in the attack.
Which is something I've seen... Okay. I don't know if Mane scored off a tap-in like that, but he always did it. And we have two people doing that on our wings... You just get little shitty goals where it comes off your fucking your heel or something like that.
And to wrap up talking about the front, and I'm going to have to say I'm very, very, very excited at the fact that Jurgen Klopp has said that he wants Firmino to be his number 9. Mm-hmm. He wants Firmino to lead the line. And for me, that's brilliant.
Mm.
Because we haven't got a player as intelligent as Firmino in terms of off the ball movement, getting other players involved, dragging out defenders, leaving holes for... Mane and Salah and Coutinho getting behind. That for me, buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
I'm going to ask you a question. Someone comes to your club and they go, I'm a left winger. What number do they usually get? Just tell them.
It's 11.
Now I'm going to ask you another question. A player comes to your club and he's a striker. What number does he usually get?
Number 9.
Now Firmino has which number?
11.
Now Salah's coming in and he's a left winger, winger type player, right winger maybe. What number is he rumoured to be getting?
9.
This is wrong. This is wrong. This is a crime against humanity. I hate when numbers are out of order.
It's a crime against numbers.
I don't mind Firmino on 11. I do not want Salah getting number 9. Not in a million years. It's dumb. It's silly. Aspas had 9 and it was stupid.
I'll tell you why I don't want them to swap.
That's why Aspas was shit.
It could be the number.
He's wearing number 9 on the wing. The number doesn't want you to play well. The number will curse you.
Mark Gonzalez had 11. He was our left winger. Remember Gonzalez?
He literally ran his way out of the club. He was just so quick and so dumb.
I'll tell you why I don't want them to swap numbers. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, George.
I know what your reason is.
I just bought the Firmino jersey.
This isn't good enough. Should have been smarter than that, mate. I never buy jerseys until transfer season is over.
And I don't want to have to get another jersey because they're expensive and I don't want to.
Fair enough. Well, that's enough on Salah. We're going to go into Keita Balde. Now,
Lazio.
From Lazio. This is another winger. Now, he was supposed to be someone we were looking at instead of Salah, but we were looking at some blog posts of people saying we should be signing him anyway, despite the fact... Oh, no, that was Gelson Martins. Anyway, we were just saying we should sign him anyway because we like the look of him. Now, we watched some videos of what he was like. We watched him versing a team again. He was with Lazio. It was probably the same game. We're watching that other guy in Milinkovic-Savic. You actually are a big fan of Keita Balde.
He's, for some reason, we're all going for the fastest players in the world, and it's good because the Premier League is a very quick league. Mm. So he offers pace. His education was in Spain.
I thought he was a Spanish player because I knew he was a Barca youth player.
Barca youth player. So he's savvy. He knows. I guess he's been brought up in a football environment.
Wasn't Adama Traore the one that played for Middlesbrough? Wasn't he a Barca youth prospect as well? And he's dumb. Like, he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, but he also... I remember Adama Traore scoring 20 goals a season in the Barcelona B team. Mm. So, yeah. He's young. Keita Balde is young. I think he's 22.
Yeah. Again, they're all 23. What's going on? They're all born the same year.
I'm not too sure what his value's at. I'm not too sure how much they've priced him.
Did we see the magic 50 million euro mark? Why don't you have a look? Because there was one thing that we were watching a video of him. I'm not sure who we saw him playing. Fiorentina. We saw him playing against Fiorentina. And what we both liked about him was, we liked his pace. We liked his directness. He was cutting in. He had a shot from distance, which we said that Klopp might actually try and, you know, coach out of him because he doesn't like long shots. But I don't mind a player having a shot because you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery, as they say. But what we both liked about him is that he stops on the ball and says, I'm going to take on my defender. It's that Ronaldo-esque sort of, it's me versus you. I have the confidence of stopping.
It's the arrogance.
It's the arrogance of going, I'm going to stop, and this is now me versus, this is a one-on-one battle. And more often than not, you know, who knows if he got past them or not. He did it on a couple occasions, but I love that. Like, as a technical thing, I love that.
Well, the price tag now, I'm just having a quick read, is valued at about 25 million euros.
Euros. Which means it's probably about, I reckon he's about 30 million euros. Once Liverpool start sniffing, he gets the premium, the Liverpool premium on him. I reckon about 25 million pounds. I mean, we need numbers on the wings. We need another player. Like, we've got Salah, Mane. I'd say we need one more because then they can start. Because Balde, we also saw Balde Keita interchanging with the striker. He's played up front before as a number 9, false 9 style thing. So indirectly, we're also buying someone as cover for Firmino.
The only problem there is that he's... I want to say it's a problem. He plays... So he's a Senegalese international. So... If you're looking long term here, so let's say it's not this season, but the next season coming after the one that's approaching us is the African Cup of Nations. We lose Mane.
Can we make him Spanish?
Salah. And then if we do sign him, which I don't think we will, Balde.
And then there's the other Keita as well, who's from Guinea.
Then there's the other one, if we get Naby.
We've got Naby Keita and Balde Keita. And we've got Mane and Salah.
That's four.
Let's get Balde Keita to play for Spain like Diego Costa did because he lived there for a year.
Well, he actually made an international... he played internationally for the Catalonia team.
Who did?
Keita Balde.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. One match.
One match. Wow.
One match.
Is he born there? Can he just be Spanish? Can we just make him Spanish?
He can pretend he is.
Okay.
Keep him away from the African Cup of Nations for sure because we've seen what that done to us with Mane this season.
Mm.
So... I mean, this is, for the season coming now, we'll be okay, obviously. But the one after, when the African Cup of Nations is back again, oh.
Well, we put a dour note on Keita, but we like his affordability. We like what he does in a match. You said that you've seen him actually, and because you're
a friend of mine,
a friend of yours, yeah,
he's a Serie A nutcase.
And he was quick. He played against Juventus, yeah. And you said that he was very quick. He tore them to shreds. We did see a game of him against Fiorentina. He drifted in and out of the game, so he does have those. Maybe he's more of a highlights package player. Maybe who knows if he's worth the risk? But of the players that we've seen and that we're scouting, if he is £25 million, sounds like a bit of a steal to us
for the age as well.
22.
Yeah, 22. He's playing week in, week out.
Mm.
Why not?
Well, I mean, that's we've also got Gelson Martins here. €50 million is what he was priced at. If we do a very, very short summary, he's very Cristiano Ronaldo-esque in that he's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. He's very direct, always runs at either at his defender or towards the byline, always wants to make a cross happen. His crossing's a bit better than Douglas Costa, by the way, in that, you know, I think Douglas Costa, we're watching that Brazil game, Brazil versus Argentina, everything was into the stands. It's unbelievable. Martin's a little bit erratic with his crossing, but he can get better. He's only young. Yeah, good Ronaldo chop on him. He did a flip-flap in one of the games that I was watching, which was great. So he's very skillful, very quick, but at £50 million, at someone who's only performed for Sporting Lisbon in Portugal, surely too expensive.
Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even think about it. I wouldn't even flirt with the idea.
He could have just been also a bargaining chip for Salah.
Again, for me, so what? I would not spend that kind of money there. Like, if you're going to spend it there, spend it somewhere else.
Mm.
Spend where we need it more.
And then we come up to strikers. I mean, the three names that I've got on this list are Aubameyang. Three, there's four. Aubameyang, Mbappe, Lacazette, and Werner. I mean, we all know what Aubameyang does. We saw him play against us.
You can get rid of Mbappe. He's not coming.
He's not coming. Aubameyang's not coming either. None of them are. And neither is Lacazette.
I think there's more life in the Aubameyang than there is in Mbappe.
Mbappe, don't even worry about it. Not even going to look at
him. We're not going to talk about him because that's a waste.
We watched him score a goal when Mendy set him up. It was a good goal.
But
that was our scouting report on Mbappe. We didn't even bother with him. Aubameyang, we've seen him play. Lacazette, everybody knows what Lacazette's about. He's actually more of a goal poacher than probably what people give him credit for. Same with Aubameyang. People think because they're pacey that they're these tricky winger-style forwards. But no, they want to be in the box. They want to score. So that's what you're getting with those two. We very quickly on Werner. Is that your phone? Turn your phone off, mate. Turn it off.
That's the podcasting couch going off.
Turn it back on, mate. Turn your phone on. Very quickly on Werner. He's a Leipzig compatriot of Keita. He had a decent season. Great season, actually. 21 goals, I think he scored. The highest scoring German player in the Bundesliga. I'm not too sold on him, to be honest. I've watched a couple of videos on him, most notably him playing against, again, I watched him play against Leverkusen and Munich, the highlights games, but also his international performances recently. He just seems very one-dimensional, very Thomas Muller-esque, albeit, like you say, he's very quick.
See, your opinion on him would be better than mine because I've only seen him once.
Hmm.
What I did see was... He's left-footed, isn't he?
I thought he was right-footed.
Are you sure?
Mm. I can check that for you. You keep going.
From what I saw, it was a lot of power, pace, and a player who loves to get in dangerous positions.
Right.
And for us, if he can do that and score 21 goals in the Premier League, then come on over.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, he does have pace about him. He does like getting in behind. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think I was sold on what I saw in a... He's right-footed, by the way. I don't think I was sold from what I saw in the Germany game, but maybe that's not something to go by. But yeah, Fox in the box as well. 21 goals is not too bad. Not too shabby, as they say. Well, look, I think we've done a quite... Oh, my bone cracked again. I think we've done a quite a... What's that? Is that him there?
You know what we could do?
What?
We can actually watch the next German game in the Confederation Cup. That's actually on right now.
Because he's
in the squad.
Ah.
We can actually do a live... scouting report.
I don't think we're going to, because we're at an hour now, so I don't think we...
I'm talking about when they play next.
Oh, when they play next, right. Yeah. I thought the game was on now.
No.
It's coming up soon.
It's 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning, right.
I might watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
Bloody, all that chat that we did and Emre Can didn't even fucking start the game.
He featured.
They didn't think Australia was good enough, that's why.
Yeah, 100%.
Hmm. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. This has been a huge sort of transfer, sort of scouting summary. I think that's enough of the... I think you've got something to say as well.
Yeah, we're not talking football anymore. I picked up on the last podcast that Nish actually mentioned that we have about 500 listeners on average from Japan.
Oh.
So to all our Japanese listeners, it's arigato gozaimasu, and keep that listening.
That last bit sounded a bit Greek, gozaimasu.
It's the tongue. It's
the gozaimasu.
It's gozaimasu.
Gozaimasu.
So
that's Portuguese now, my God.
Thank you very much, and keep listening in Japan.
Oh.
And to everybody else. Actually, you know what? Why don't we ask where people are listening from?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. If you feel like you want to drop a comment down, tell us where you're listening from. Absolutely.
I'll be very interested to see where majority of our listeners are.
And I feel fatigued at the end of the show. I wanted to do some chant stuff.
George, not now.
You don't want to do chant stuff? We can do it at the end. We can do it next show. We definitely got to get to chants.
I think hopefully by the next show we can stop talking about transfers. Not stop, but like less.
Well, this is a big summary of all the transfers. So this is good. I mean, there's always going to be more. People love the transfer goss. But this was a good summary. We did a good job, mate.
I think today was brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think the next one, maybe less on transfers, a bit more on the stuff that you want to talk about. I think songs. I think songs are good.
Songs.
We need to pick a couple of songs chosen by us and the fans. Let's get them viral. And you dropped your bottle of water there, mate. And then let's get them sung by the cop. That's the overall target, isn't it?
Imagine the podcasting couch releases a song that gets sung by the cop. I love the sound of that. Anyway, we are going to wrap up the show there. Thanks for coming on the show, Pete, Coach Kafinas.
It's a pleasure of mine.
This has been episode 84. My name has been George Xanthus. This has been the LFC Podcasting Couch, and we will see you all soon.